Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm glad to be here once again. You know, Hot Topics from the Soul was created to be a lifeline to the community. So that's why we want to stay in touch and make sure that we keep the community connected and you have a voice. So those of you that have questions or comments as we start the show tonight, please feel free to write it into the message box and I will address it and respond. I have my co-host with me, Dr. J.R. Thicklin.
Well, good evening. And today really is the epitome of what the name of the show is, Hot Topics from the Soul. And we have some hot topics.
Absolutely. Well, guilty. Derek Chauvin guilty of the murder of George Floyd. You know, and it's funny that the show tonight, well, it's not funny, but the show tonight is racism. Where does it end? You know, we've been persecuted as a people for years. And it's just that the world had a chance to see it real time. Feet have been on our necks through centuries. And Absolutely. Now the world had the opportunity to see the manifestation of what we have endured for years and years through generation from generation.
Absolutely. And you know, it's amazing that finally today we feel like justice might have had on her glasses. She might have seen. So we can erase, at least for now, the statement that justice is blind, because today we see that justice's eyes was wide open, but it's up to each and every one of us to make sure that justice's eyes remain open in terms of what do we do next? What is our momentum? What is our strategy? How do we galvanize? How do we hold law enforcement accountable? How do law enforcement come to the community and make it all work together? Because after all, we deserve to live. We deserve to live. People will commit crimes. We understand that. People make choices that affect the quality of life they live, but no one has the authority to determine the value of your life. And so regardless of what he did, regardless of whether or not a $20 counterfeit bill or whether he was high off or whatever, it did not determine the value of his life. He should not have died at the hands of anyone, let alone a law enforcement officer. And so once again, all we've been saying is that Black lives matter. Our lives matter. And today, justice spoke. And as George Floyd brother says, even if it's nothing but for a moment, right now, we can breathe.
We can breathe. Oh, wow. You know what? The thing is, it's the arrogance of watching that video, watching it live, watching it replayed over and over, the arrogance of him kneeling on his neck and thinking it's okay, feeling that he was above the law, even though he was the law. Now, I want to make it clear to all our viewers that, you know, no one is above the law. And we are not saying we are against law enforcement because of the fact that they are regular men and women that put on a uniform and go out and do a job. It's how they do their job that makes and defines them as far as who they are. They're individuals, they're wives, they're mothers, they're husbands, they're fathers, they're somebody's child. So we don't want you going out and, you know, assaulting police and, you know, following them home and trying to look them up and thinking they're all in a pot, because, you know, they've done that to us. They've discriminated us and put us all in a basket saying that we're all alike. So don't be like them. Be better and greater than they are, those that are not upholding the law as they are supposed to. So let's make this clear. We are not against the police, because, you know, when we're in trouble and we pick up that phone and we call, we expect them to come. I'm not waiting to see if a white police officer come, an Asian police officer come, a white police officer come. I'm calling somebody for help and I want you to show up, and I don't want you not to show up because of the color of my skin. So let's just make this clear. If you're in a position to do a job, do that job. but do not do it with the arrogance in the fact that you are or you think you are above the law.
You know, Dr. Brown, what you said is so important because the fact, you know, when you talk about that arrogant look, that sense of being just totally oblivious to the fact that you literally have a human life, a human person pinned up under your knee, I do believe that that type of attitude was perpetuated perhaps by the culture of our time. It's no secret. Our previous president had no problem with just being very, if you recall,
filtered
at the mouth. He was unfiltered. He said things. And in many ways, he fanned the flames. He fanned the flames of racism in this country. He fanned the flames. You know, and in fanning those flames, what we found out that racism, and you often hear me say, and I give credit to the Racial Equity Institute for this, that it talks about racism. Racism is that lie that has been perpetuated for years in this country. And so what we understand is that when it comes to racism, it is said that a well-organized lie is more powerful than a disorganized truth. And that's what racism has been. And we've seen it used as a weapon. We heard, as I pivot, we heard our former president, even when it came to this COVID-19, the coronavirus 19, he began to use terms like this China virus, this Kung Fu virus. And he began to literally, in my opinion, assault a whole ethnic class of people in saying that, which caused, if you would, a lot of hatred to be turned even greater toward Asians. And whether they was Asian Americans or Asians from anywhere, we begin to see hatred toward them. We begin to see, if you would, dirty acts toward them. Many of them had to start hiding mask upon a mask. I've seen interviews where others had to change the way they look because of the fact that hatred had been boiling against them. And even more recently, as you recall, just a month ago in Atlanta, where the gentleman goes in and go into the the beauty salons and massage parlors and stuff, and literally targeting Asian Americans. And it's a sad thing because they experienced this type of hatred, but it was flame. And so I know tonight, as we deal with racism, when will it ever end? The thing that we do know is this, that we don't have a monopoly on racism. We don't. Racism is a taught theory. It's a theory. It's a spirit. It is something that has to be continue to give life. And in the same manner, in order to combat it and move beyond that, we have to have people that are willing to join in the fight, to recognize the fact that we're inextricably tied together. But together, we can do something. We can change it. And we're doing something on Hot Topics from the Soul tonight because of the fact we have a very, very special guest that you've known for a while. And I know you're going to introduce her, and I can hardly wait for our conversation tonight.
Yes, Julia Ho is a dear friend of mine. I met her back in 2006. She was at one of the trainings with Les Brown, and we remained friends throughout the years. And I wanted her to come on to talk about, you know, what she's experienced and witnessed in the Asian community. You know, a lot of times we label people and you know, throw stones at them, but they're individuals. That, you know, once you get to know a person, then you realize that all those things that you're taught, because I do believe that a lot of racism is because of learned behavior. When you get the chance to actually communicate and talk with someone, you'll find out that you're not different at all.
Absolutely.
How are you, my beautiful sister?
Thank you, my sister. Oh, it is so good. And
you got
here
on purple.
We did not even arrange that ahead of time. We're like, great minds think alike. Soul sisters, you know, for real. And we do go way back. It's such an honor and a pleasure to be here tonight to talk about what is so present every single day now.
Every day.
And every day now. And not just with my Black, you know, brothers and sisters, but also with my, you know, the AAPI, the Asian American Pacific Islander communities.
Yes.
And, you know, you're so right. Here's the thing. Issues, racial tensions, the division and racism, it's always been there. Yes. However, the difference is when you have an administration or leadership that emboldens the rest of the you know, the hidden, the covert racism, the ignorance and the division, it just comes flying out. I mean, I experienced it myself personally on so many different levels through the years. I mean, I've been around for a while. Like I said, like Valerie said, we do go way back, you know, to 2006, 2007. And I've seen a lot too, you know, as a former news reporter, producer and in the media, and also as an actor, producer. So I'm in front of the camera, behind the camera. I talk for a living, but I also do research and I investigate. And I have been so, you know, confronted with it. It just in the past year, more so in the pandemic. But just to go back, I mean, of course, I got bullied when I was a kid. I got called, even in college, you would think where, you know, it's a diverse area. And in California, that's where I am right now. I'm in Los Angeles. And I went to a school at UC Santa Barbara where I graduated. And I remember being called, like, there's a car going by. It's my freshman year. And I'm on my bike going to class and they're shouting, go home, you chink. I mean, just horrible stuff. And I was shocked because in Los Angeles, it's pretty mixed. And yet there in Santa Barbara, it's a college, it's a higher, you know, learning, it's a higher education learning institution, and yet it happens. But what is different now, what with the pandemic and the whole words are powerful, as Les Brown has said, right? You know, when you're being called, when the virus itself is being called China virus. I literally, at the beginning last year, in March, I had my mask on and I'm being leered at. I'm being called, you know, China virus or Corona or jeered at. And I mean, no big deal. We keep on walking, but it's been happening and it's been absolutely disheartening and distressful too. I mean, and very stressful as well. Especially when it started proliferating. I'm sure everybody, it's really come to a head just recently when you start hearing about it in the news, right? Such as the first one, I think before even the Atlanta shooting, we had the Thai American elderly man in the Bay Area.
Right, I saw that one.
And he was kicked in the head, attacked for no good reason at all. And he was only but one of the many, many elderlies that were targeted because, you know, there's a stereotype of Asian Americans, especially elderly, being meek and vulnerable and not talking back or fighting back. And the poor gentleman died. And then there are tons of other cases that kept on happening, mostly in the coastal cities, the major metropolises. But you know, not everybody ends up dying, but of course that became a headline. And then more people started noticing what's been going on already, you know, all the attacks, the assaults, you know, the African, not the, the Filipino American lady that was attacked and kicked in New York City, where, you know, the doorman just shut the door and just looked the other way. So it's you know, we're in this together, unfortunately, in trauma and pain. And, you know, we need to all know better, do better, and get better. You know, you mentioned with today's, you know, final verdict, all guilty on all three charges. And yes, justice is, well, if I may add the caveat, justice is beginning to be served. I would say there's been accountability. However, justice is not quite, it's just starting. We have to change the system. And you know, all of the people of color, brothers and sisters, we've been suffering. And so it's not like, well, it's been going on for all this time. Well, now people are, you know, it's we shouldn't ever have to suffer and then to die just because of lack of understanding. To get attacked just because there is this gross, egregious misunderstanding about whether it be the virus or you know, of who we are, or that we're Americans here, or if we're immigrants,
we are Americans. You know, we're all attacking each other based on what we think, but at the end of the day, we are Americans and we are all created equal. The Asian man that was killed, that could have been my father.
I know. And
he could have been walking down the street. My father, a black man, could have been walking down the street, and because somebody's opinion of him wanted to dictate his reality at that moment, they decided to hit him, knock him down, drag him down. My father's 81 years old. I would shudder to think if someone would have accosted my father on the street and it costed him his life. I would have shuddered to think if someone attacked my mother, my children, me on the street because of the venom that is being spewed out in this country, so divided. But what do we do? Where do we go from here? I know the statistics are huge in your community. And see, you know, one of the things you said, Julia, was, you know, they said the China virus. Well, you're not China. You were from here.
Well, actually, here's the thing. In my case, I wasn't born in China. I was actually born in Taiwan, completely different politically, without going into all the details of it. But I was born in Taiwan.
I'm not from Africa, but they tell me to go back to Africa.
Right. But I grew up here. I mean, since I was 9 years old, but there were plenty of other American born Chinese, you know, Korean, Japanese. And that's another thing. We're all lumped together as of this one monolith. Right. We're not. And so there is that. So it could be very, very blatant and negligent, but then also there are subtle nuances and there are different little microaggressions that, you know, there's a full spectrum. So from the horrible, blatant shooting, killing, murdering, you know, attacks to even little, you know, daily words, comments, or just looks, or you know, things that are microaggressions, as they were saying. But, you know, we all bleed the same color.
Right.
Whichever way you cut it. And you know, it's just like we not only need to know better. Sure, I mean, a lot of people share information. That's a first. But we want to make sure that it's not performative, where we're just like, oh, I'm feeling guilty, I got to do something. Well, you know, social media is great in sharing information. However, it could be such a mess, right? Especially since the pandemic. And it's important to do the work on the ground. No, you don't necessarily need to go out there and protest. That's very important too. But you want to find the avenue. And there are ways. By first and foremost, get informed, get educated. There are resources, you know, out there that are sharing all the different bits of happenings and crimes and issues for not only our, you know, black brothers and sisters, but also the AAPI communities as well as Latinos and you know, in recently, you know, the shooting in Indianapolis, people don't realize that the Sikhs, they're Indian, you know, the Sikhs, there were four, they're South Asians who were killed. Granted, they're still doing, you know, their ongoing investigations, but boy, you know, out of eight people killed, four of them were Sikhs, and you know, they're Indians, and you know, it's too much of a coincidence for it to not be targeted. And so become aware, and I think more than anything, if you see something, do something. Granted, be safe.
Yeah.
Be safe. I mean, but don't look away. Call for help. And the system is tough too, because sometimes you're calling for, like you said, so well said, Valerie, and also Dr. J, you call the people who you think will be protecting you, and then in the end, you end up getting hurt by some of them. Mm-hmm. And it's the system, you know. I think it was who was that who said it recently, you know, the Daily Show, Trevor. He said it was so astute, his observation, when he said, you know, you keep talking about these bad apples. I mean, Grant, I have a lot of friends in the military. Great, you know, policemen and police women who go out there, like you said, get dressed up and be on the front line and help and do good. And yes, they're upset too. And yeah, you know, there are, you think, well, you know, where are the bad apples? But really, Trevor said it best when he said something to the effect that it's not the bad apples, you know, it's actually the tree that is rotten in the roots, and it just so happens to be growing some good apples. But don't for a second, you know, doubt that tree was, it's like unintentional. No, the tree is doing, it's bearing the fruit of exactly what it was intended. And so there's a lot of systemic and institutionalized racism and issues and problems. So we, you know, so we got to go and figure out what in what areas can I be of service and help.
And you're absolutely right. And the other part is that we have to also be very careful that we don't become perpetuators of that same systemic bias or racism, even upon one another. And earlier, Dr. Val was talking about not reciprocating those type of behaviors in the way that we've been treated. So we have a responsibility because of the fact of, you know, you talk about the analogy of the tree, and it's very similar to the one of the pond. You know, you go and you go out to the lake or pond and you see some fishes. You see a few fishes floating on top, and you go, oh, my, what's wrong with the fish? You know, and things like that. Maybe the fish is just sick. God's hope to all. But you go out there again, and you see more fish floating and stuff like that. You're going, what's wrong with the fish?
It's in the water.
But if you go the third time, the question is not what's wrong with the fish. What's wrong with the water? Because it's in the water. And we have to be careful of the water that we are taking in, the water that we are, if you would, that we're allowing to irrigate our soul and irrigate who we are as people in this country. Hatred and racism needs a spokesperson. And guess what? He or she who yields themselves to that will be a great spokesperson for it. Whether we're tearing down one another inside of our racism or even inside of sexism. You know, once again, you know, all of these things are oftentimes, they're present inside of it. And you talked about what is it that we should do? First of all, we have to acknowledge the fact that it's there. Let's stop playing the games as if it doesn't exist. Institutional racism, systemic racism is part of the fabric of this country. And what we're seeing over the last 4 to 5 years is that this there's just afraid more than that. I should say the last 12 years, especially. Mm-hmm. We're seeing where there are those that are becoming afraid because of the fact that people are waking up. Their eyes are open to what we're seeing. And guess what? There's a liberation that is happening with people. And these people are saying, I'm not worried about the color of skin. I'm just trying to make it. But those who have been in power feel threatened because they've always been in power. It's the reason for attacking voting rights. It's the reason for voter suppression. It's the reason for denying certain people certain privileges. Because once again, they know what's best for you and you don't know what's best for yourself. And we have to break those type of thinking. We have to break those type of stereotype. And we have to know that we owe it to ourselves and the next generation to break this back of systemic racism. And we have to do so by standing together. What happened to those individuals that you talked about, whether it was there in California, whether it was there in Atlanta, there in Indianapolis, whatever, it demands that we all come to the table and voice our displeasure and begin to take action. Because when it happens to one group, it is happening to us all.
Yes, you're so right.
More guests, Dr. J. We have Veronica and Glenn Brooks that'll be joining us. Veronica had created a shirt regarding with George Floyd and a lot of other individuals that lost their lives. So, Veronica.
Yes.
I'm hearing some feedback, so I need you to mute your sound, please, so that we can hear you. Yes. But talk about why you created that shirt, Do You Know My Name?
Can y'all hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, how y'all doing? I got my beard going.
I see that.
What we've done, actually it came in a dream. And it was like a late part of a dream. And one of the things that was said in the dream is that, do you know our story? And so the next day, me and Veronica talked about it, and I began to retrolect some things that were taking place in the past. So we created the shirt, and I think if you can see it here, it says, "Do you know our story?" And then it covers. It has names of different people, life that was taken during injustice or any other things that caused the Black men and women to lives to be taken from them.
Right. They're and not just so, names of men. They are women.
Women lost their lives. Too.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And George Floyd, it was like the breaking point.
Yes.
And as you can see, what happened, instead of blocking out our history, they're always trying to block it out every time we try to go forward. So that's why we want people never stop standing up for what you know is right and keep moving forward. And we don't go forward in violence. We go forward by using wisdom and knowledge, by building. We even build businesses. That's part of being the knowledge. Mm-hmm. And not to be so much down on others, but building everybody up and not let this racism go on any longer. And once when we saw that on live on TV with George Floyd, I could feel the pain every single time one of us were shot or killed or hurt. We can feel the pain. It causes post-traumatic stress.
Yes.
To us.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So this is why people have to know really our story, because we deal with it on a daily basis. We deal with stuff like this. And it's not, we have some good cops, and of course there's some bad ones. But the thing is, we have to know what is right and what is wrong, and not to let it repeat itself again, but build up on the right stuff and build up on the right story and not a false story.
And even if we look back in history, we find that they've always tried to block our history. They try to block the truth of who we are and how brilliant, how intelligent we are. I mean, even the education level, they found ways to jeopardize how we learn. And through that process, if we are able to tell our story and people have an ear to hear our story, they'll realize that we're a people. We're human like anyone else. We have hurts, we have pains, we have everything. But most of all, we have something that's deep inside of us, and we should be able to freely let people know who we are, where we came from, and what our history is about. Our history is important.
Julia, do you find that the same struggles where in your community that people really don't know who you are? There's different types of Asian American people, but people aren't educated. You and Dr. J and I were talking about there are different types of Asians, but we put them all in one basket, just like they put us all in one basket. They put Hispanics all in one basket. Yeah. You know, the Mexicans, they put in all one basket. They're taught the Haitians, they put in all one basket. It's just never ending. It's learned. I can't say it enough. The majority is learned behavior.
Right. Yes. Right.
And we need to do something about it as parents when we're raising our children. Don't raise them to hate or for them to feel that they're inferior. You know, it's learned behavior. They're being taught. You know, in the Jewish community, they teach their children from birth who they are and where the power that they're supposed to stand in. But we need to do that same thing too, but not, you know, create racism and think that you're so much better than one another. So how is that in your community, Julia?
Well, you know, you bring up some really great points of how we get, and people tend to do that, right? To put us in a box because it's easy to do. But a lot of times, even within our communities, you know, because of the class differences, whether it be, you know, financial or, you know, educational, there are chasms. I mean, there are gaps, and sometimes even within our own communities, there are issues. So, that happens too, or skin color, right? Whether you're light skin or dark skin, this also happens in the Asian community, Asian American, Asian communities as well. There's Southeast Asians, there are, you know, Asian, and most people think Asians are, even sometimes within the communities, they forget that we're not just the predominant ones that are here in the U.S. We're Korean American, I'm Chinese American or Taiwanese Americans or, you know, Japanese Americans. But there's Thai, there's even India, you know, Indian. Like I mentioned, you know, the victims of the shootings in Indianapolis, they're Sikhs, and they're considered Asians too, you know, and then there's Cambodians, and there's so many layers. And now we're not expecting people, especially those who are not within our communities, to know every tiny little nuance and this and that, because it is complex. But what I believe is most important is, and as Dr. J had mentioned earlier, and Valerie, you so beautifully pointed out, it has to start from within, from the family, so that we understand each other. And, you know, in the Asian American communities, for example, there's a stereotype of, I'm sure you heard this, the model minority, right? It's a myth. The whole idea that, oh, a lot of these Asian Americans, not only do we get lumped together, we end up thinking, oh, there's no struggles, there's no fights, you know, and because, oh, they all do so well at school, and, you know, they go to the Ivy League schools, and they're well off and financially, and, you know, they have money they're bringing into the U.S. when they immigrated. That is only just, it's a small percentage. It's a myth, and that does not apply to everybody. You know, and like in my case, when I first immigrated here, my parents were not college educated. My brother and I were the first ones to actually attend college. I didn't speak a darn word of English. I didn't even know the alphabet when I landed here. And, you know, we worked in a liquor store in the inner city, and you know, it's hard work. And yet I get lumped together with those folks who are maybe white collar Asian Americans who come in when they're, you know, at the college level. And they have all the support ahead of time, and end up thinking, oh, well, you know, well, I have it good. There's this assumption. So I think that more than anything, we just, it's so simple as just say, hey, you know, get to know, find out, and not only not fight within our own communities, because discrimination, it goes, it happens, it classism. It persists it even within our own community. So it's already something to be dealing with. But then it makes it more, that much more complex when we have, you know, people outside of the community who, you know, we're all Americans, and yet there's so much misunderstanding and disconnect because people like to assume. People don't stop to take a moment to ask or to read or to even Google. Or, well, now we have Google. Back then we didn't even have that, right, back in the day. So it could be very, very frustrating. And I think it is so important to recognize it is nuanced and layered, but we got to start by trying to understand. It starts from the home, starts from the inside out, obviously, but to actually take action and try to find out a little bit more besides just the food or the clothing or the hair, right? And, yeah, you know, yes, we could appreciate it, but let's also understand, even if you don't know anybody, well, maybe get to ask them or talk to somebody or get to know them. And in the case of when something is happening out on the streets, because we're all under attack right now, you know.
Yes, that is very good point. We are all under attack. Even if you're white, guess what? You're going to be attacked because of the fact that you are white, and they identify you with that white police officer that killed that black man. So racism against one is racism against us all. So we really need to open our eyes and pay attention to what's going on in here. You know, it's bigger than any of us see right now. It's just that before it wasn't able to be televised, but it has been going on all the time.
And it shouldn't have to take until we see it on TV. Well, it's on our video cameras, because back in the day we didn't, other than first one back with Rodney King, you got the videotaping. So we have to stand up for each other and enter communities to help, instead of standing by, or obviously, you know, protect yourself, but do what you can or check in. Sometimes it doesn't even have to, you don't have to wait until it's an emergency or when the crap hits the fan or if it's happening in front of you. But, you know, check in and call or find out and say hello to your neighbors. It does need to start. I know it sounds so basic, but we stopped doing that. Obviously, with the pandemic, it's more challenging. But, you know, check in and you know, with our Black brothers and sisters and with our, you know, Asian American, you know, brothers and sisters and or Latino and other friends, because it's been very, very heavy. And sometimes just reaching out and asking, well, teach me or share with me or where are some resources, because that's not up to us, people of color, to teach or train, you know, those who might have the privilege of not knowing what's going on.
Been going on so long. It's been going on so long. And I can say for my Black community, it has been taught throughout the years, starting way back with Martin Luther King from the very beginning. You know, Malcolm X, they were already teaching back then. We've always put it out there. And before, you know, it was, you know, we're getting more together now. I see more togetherness over the years. But back then, we've been bringing it out so much of what is going on through all this racism. And now that is on social media and everything, it's just, it's always been there, but everybody's beginning to see it now for real, just like you said. So my thing is, it has to be taught from the home first, just like you mentioned. But when it's taught from the home, from the very basic, because a child, they don't even know color until somebody comes and tells them about it. But what are we really teaching at home? We have to really check, you know, our own self and see what we're doing and how we're building according to our own heart and what's really down in our own heart. So, you know, that's just one of the things, you know, I just wanted to mention about our community.
Well, Dr. J, you've done several television interviews in the last couple of days. So you want to share some insights and things that you've discovered and learned during this process?
Well, you know, Dr. Val, what we're learning is this, is that people, to a certain degree, they're all kind of tired of all the things that's going on. And it's been going on. It sounds like a broken record. But where we have lacked connectivity is really, how do we get beyond it? What is our responsibility in the solution inside of it? One of the things that has to happen is that we must become solution focused, not just a vent table, not just having a place to vent. We've vented long enough. The protest is the vent. All of those things are the vent. It's what is it that we do now? We have a couple of mechanisms, but we must understand that even those mechanisms have been riddled with racism. I mentioned earlier, my voter suppression bills. I mean, look, our governor is about to sign HB 90 right now in the state of Florida. Every one of these new voter legislations are modeled after what we're seeing happening in Georgia. Well, come on, folks. Let's be very, very, very serious. This is racism at its best. Why? Georgia, of all states, the reddest of red states, flipped blue in this last election. Why? Because it had unprecedented turnout, and especially among Black people. Okay. We've seen that happen throughout the country. As a nation, we had the largest turnout of voters for a presidential election in the history of this country. How was it responded to? You would think, great, let's model after that. No, no. What is being said is we can't have that happen again. So what do we do? Start putting things in places. We want to get rid of souls to the polls. We want to get rid of mail-in ballots. We want to reduce the early voting as much as we can. Why is that so? That is nothing but racism, because we understand that culturally, certain people respond to certain things, and that's what happened. So what I'm saying is that we have to keep our eyes open. It's very easy to see the injustices of police officers who murder people, whether we're talking about George Floyd or Sandra Bland or Breonna Taylor, and we can go on, Ahmaud Arbery, we can do all of that. But don't get caught there alone. That's the low-hanging fruit. When we start talking about structural racism, when we start talking about, if you would, you know, institutional racism, systematic racism, those things are embedded even in our structure of government, our structure. Let me ask you a question. This afternoon, not too long ago, the president of these United States and the vice president spoke live to the nation concerning this verdict. Let's go back just a year ago. Did we ever hear the former president stand up and have any degree of sympathy or empathy toward this family or any other afterwards? No. And what I'm saying is that these are cold words. We was hearing about Proud Boys. We was hearing about all these folks there because this is stoking the flame. The flame of white supremacy, and I don't have a problem saying it, doesn't just look like folks with a Confederate flag. We have this happening even among religion and faith. Our white Christian nationalist religion, who have perpetuated this type of thing, that once again says that this race is above that race. We break that, and it's getting out of control, folks. The real problem that we have, that has gone all the way to the talking about the southern border, has everything to do with the black and browning of America. America is black and browning. And what's happening is that it's no longer, listen, little secret, white is not the majority anymore. And we know it. And so now the slip of power, it start happening with women. Let me tell you, not black women, with women, period. Because as long as white Caucasian men ruled this country for years, it was all right. When we start having rights that start bringing in women, then those rights brought in, allowed doors for other minorities. And then what we have now, it is that grip that is being lost, that is fueling this type of hatred. But I'm going to say it once and for all, love still trumps hate. And
yes,
when we come together, we can make it work because of the fact that we're able to do the right thing. And what is the right thing? You said it earlier, Julia. It's about us getting together with our brothers and sisters, joining hands together, recognizing that we're inextricably tied, and we're going to do what is needed to, because in fact, we must do it. No one is going to do it for us. We have to come together, teach this from the very beginning. Even our own racism and our own implicit bias toward one another.
Yeah.
Because so often, even when we start with our children, you know, so let's teach them right from wrong. We start and we end at just the color of the skin. But we have to understand the language. We have to understand how that is also discriminatory, how that is offensive, how that stigmatizes people. We do it all the time. Someone can't drive. Man, that old Haitian can't drive. Or that old person. Notice what we just did. We just, if you would, painted a whole broad stroke over a whole ethnic group of people because of a few that might not have been driving. We have to understand from the very beginning, culture competency is so important. And culture competency is not just about race alone. It's about things for our ceremonies and those things that we share in common. Language, it's about all of those things. And the only way to get around that is to ask questions. I mean, Julia, I want to, listen, I'm not going to assume that you like Chinese food just because I think you're Chinese. No.
Right.
You might tell me, oh boy, I can't wait to get some ham hock and some, you know.
That's right.
Summer thing. But if I assume.
Yeah.
Find out what you like. Ask people. Not be afraid to have that conversation. Reach across the aisle. And don't feel embarrassed. I think that's the fear part.
Right.
You feel embarrassed to ask questions. Well, would you rather know or rather assume in your ignorance?
Exactly. And there it is. A lot of it, the ignorance comes from fear or not understanding, not knowing, and being embarrassed or not feeling comfortable to take that step and ask. And yes, it is part of humanity that we all have our biases. I mean, it's human being, but the thing is, especially when we see that there are so many problems and what, you know, Valerie had said so beautifully is where there is injustice in one area, there is injustice everywhere.
Absolutely.
And it does start as simple as just getting to know the neighbors and or saying hello or trying to expand your understanding of another culture besides your own. Yeah, life is difficult and it's challenging. Life likes us, you know, with all sorts of stuff, especially with the pandemic, right? And all these different challenges. We got to put the food on the table and then, you know, we got to worry about shelter and stay surviving. But the thing is, at the end of the day, it is about love. We are here to connect not only with ourselves, but with each other. And we do need to go out. I mean, especially within the Asian American communities and then African American communities, there's been historical tensions. Let's you know, be really honest about it. And that's been going on, and on both sides, because it's just there's a lack of lack of understanding, and there's all these different stereotypes. Yes, that is the humanity of it all. But let's learn from our lessons,
yes.
Or else it keeps repeating itself. And it's not just words, but you know, we should ask ourselves, so what can I do today? Yeah, get active and get involved. You know, vote, of course, and while we're trying to change the system. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it could be as simple as just staying curious, you know, have the mindset of a child, because they're so innocent at the beginning. They hug each other, they love each other. And then it's all the later teachings or whatever filters that come in and the biases that come in. So I do hope that, you know, and it's not about, all the people of color and minorities against the white folks. No, I mean, it's not about that. It is just reaching across and say, well, let's get together and know that we're in this together, get an understanding, connect, and then, you know, just try to reach out. And the same thing with, you know, even, you know, with the white folks and friends, and regardless of the political differences or the cultural differences, you know, I have many friends who, yes, it's been contentious, you know, the last 4 years in the previous administration, that it really changed things, because I used to have friends who are, you know, Republican, independent, Democrats, and we could still get along, even though we could have different political and maybe even cultural differences.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it does make a difference when you end up voting in, or the presidential or political administration end up being of one that is just so far off into the deep end, and it's about power and separation and, you know, all, you know, just in it for ourselves, that it really became this big toxic soup, and ain't nobody getting fed in that soup, right? And then everybody's getting sick. And the toxicity. So we got to detox. And yes, right. I totally agree. One at a time within our own family, because, you know, we got to worry about ourselves first. Got to fill your own cup first before you can try to do anything else outside, for sure. Exactly.
We really need to start empowering ourselves mentally and spiritually, and knowing the foundation of where we come from, and start having a greater regard for human life. You know, when I first saw the Black Lives Matter movement, I mean, I was like, wow, glad they're mobilizing, glad they're trying to, you know, stand up for a cause, and thank God they're trying to do it peacefully. But then at the end of the day, we have more Blacks killing Blacks than the whites are killing us. So we have to have more regard for ourselves. How can we expect someone to respect us when we don't respect one another? I've seen on the news where people got killed, you know, the same race, because they didn't like what someone was driving. They didn't like where that person lived. They didn't like what that person had on. I mean, we are bigger than that. That is not the dream that we fought for, that our ancestors fought for. That is not what the dream was about. I remember when I was younger and my father brought me to New York, my aunts, you know, they would go, you know, from South Carolina, and they would go to New York and Baltimore, et cetera, and they would work. And, you know, my grandmother would watch us while they went out to work to build a life, and then they'd go back and send for us. But in the meanwhile, they pulled their money together and they lived under one roof, you know. Yes. Cousins and siblings lived under one roof until they got enough to buy their own house and then send back for their children and stuff. What happened to that? What happened to that regard and love for mankind and you know, the camaraderie? It's all gone. Because we want to esteem ourselves higher or better than somebody else. We are all human. Look at your mother. Look at your father. Do you want someone to hurt them? Look at your children. Do you want someone to hurt them? And this is where we begin to erase racism. Start respecting human life.
Yes. Absolutely. And the humanizing, just like, you know, with Glenn and Veronica with the t-shirts, it's so important because words are powerful in the names. So we could humanize them. And I love what you guys have done, because it just too often, that's the whole hashtag, was to forget the hashtag, but it's like, say their names, know their names. It's
and the
so
thing is,
important.
That shirt is obsolete right now, because there's so many names added to the list.
Right.
And a Dan Roy right. Henry's name should have been on that list. And he was killed a few years ago, you know, while, right after a homecoming game at Pace University. My son's friend, he was killed by police.
Yeah.
But because there wasn't the exposure, actually, they were on the news. They were on all primetime, TV on BET, Good Morning America. His parents was on there fighting for their son, for this to stop. And here we are,
still 10 years
later, new people have come into fruition, have lost their lives with the same thing. So, yes.
Right.
Chevin should have went to prison. He needs to go to jail, and not with a slap on the wrist. Not with a slap on the wrist. We're tired. We're tired. It stops here.
Yes. And also those who stood by, you know, the one, you know,
and
the two police and watched or held people at bay. And, you know, the bystanders were trying to come in and say something. So it was just so upsetting and crazy.
Yes.
And that's this disconnect.
I saw on the news today, a sergeant came out of his house, a kid walking down the neighborhood. His wife went out first.
Oh, yes.
That's why he was in the neighborhood. And he was like, I'm just walking. And, you know, didn't realize he lived in that community. And then the sergeant comes out and, you know, pushed and started shoving him. I'm talking about, you don't belong here. Well, where am I supposed to belong? What do you mean I don't belong here? And you're working and you're serving our country. You're a military. And this is the attitude you have. Mm-hmm. I was outraged.
Yes. Absolutely outraged. And thank God they actually did. I think they arrested him and took him in. In fact, it was
he was charged.
And then it was the army. I think was it one of the high ranking officials say, you know, we're on this right away. And this is not okay. So that was the step towards the right direction, because, you know, often there's been so many incidents similar to that. And it took forever for the so-called authorities or those in charge to do anything about it or say anything about it.
You know, the frightening thing about that, when I watched it and he was a sergeant, I'm like, how many of our Black men and women did you put in arm's way because you didn't like the color of their skin? That's the first thing that dropped into my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, he needs to be discharged.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not no slap on the wrist. He needs to be discharged because he told us all who he was.
Exactly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, the culture embracing difference is definitely the story of the day. When we fail to get to know anyone, one very common lesson inside a basic lesson, I should say, inside of cultural competency says, with time and comfort comes trust. But if we don't spend time, we don't develop comfort, and there is no trust that happens there.
Exactly.
I was interviewed earlier and it was asked, what is it that law enforcement can do and what is some of them trying to do? And some of them in our area have been trying to organize, inviting people out, want them at the table, but they've been very disappointed with the turnout, because you say, look, you guys are complaining. We're here saying, come to the table. What is it that we can do? We want to hear your feedback. Well, I understand both sides, because what has happened is that the community has to now build comfort and trust with you again. And so that's going to require time. And when you're on this end, you're going to have to find a way to make yourself, inviting to the community to sit down with you, because there's been distrust. And so that's the way it is with anything. Why is it that they look at you differently? Why is it that they're clenching their purse when I walk on the elevator with them And I wouldn't even hurt a butterfly, everything, because of what is in their mind, the stereotypical messages that have been given, you know, the black man, or, you know, what, you know, he's this or he's that. No, get to know me for who I am. You may find out that I'm a lot of things, but I'm not mean. I'm not evil. I'm not here to swindle you out of anything. It is the same way with so many different cultures. We have our assumptions. We have to start there and build out. We have to have these dialogue, even with one another, even things that we say to each other. How many black people use the N-word against each other all the time? You know,
we call each other bees.
Yeah. Right. We call it fashionable and we call it normal language. But then we say, but you can't call me that. No, listen, if it's unacceptable, then it need to be unacceptable across the board. You won't call me that and you won't call me that because I'm not answering to it. And we have to start now, change our language, change the narrative, and change our way of thinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Veronica, how can people access the shirts?
They could go to Black Women Tees, or blackwomenteeshirts.com.
Is that
blackwomenteeshirts.com?
Yeah, Black Women T-shirts. You could put T-shirts are tees. T-E-E-S. So Black Women Tees or Black Women T-shirts. It'll come up either way.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know we probably run out of time now because the trust is a big thing because I had to look at my own self. You know, one thing about me, I check out Veronica because I have a huge heart. But it's hard for me to trust when people have done me so wrong, especially, you know, when you're in the work world and then you have, you know, certain, you know, white people do things, it's hard to trust. So when people say, come out and help us, it's hard to get there because you don't know if they're gonna really be honest about helping. So I think when people don't turn out, that's what I would be thinking because I've been there. It was hard for me to trust, but I had to build up on Veronica to get there, to even step out on trust of other people that have been racist towards me.
Absolutely.
Julia, you have any closing remarks?
Well, I just...
And anything you want people to know as we sign off tonight, because, I mean, as I said, we're all human and we were created equal. And I want you to share with people that, you know, something that you want them to know personally.
Well, here's the thing, you know, more than anything, just to become aware of what's going on, just knowing, yeah, I don't know where that's coming from, but anyway, long and short of it is this, awareness. We got to feel it to heal it. We have to acknowledge things, and becoming aware is the first step, you know, of what's going on. There's been over 3,800 crimes nationwide since last year against the AAPI communities alone. So that's an increase of 150%, you know, compared to historically. So it's bad enough, but then it's been increased 150%. Just in L.A., County, it's been 50%. It's the crime rates have doubled in you know, just in the city with Asian Americans. So the whole thing isn't so much, you know, focusing on the negative, but say, hey, you know, I want people to be able to say, look, now that I know, maybe I could try to take the first step and reach out and find out more and become aware and, you know, say something, do something. And because that is the first step of love. That's love in action instead of just lip service. And we all need to start doing that.
Thank you so much. Dr. J?
Well, I just want to conclude with this. Allow us to never lose hope, because hope is what keeps us going forward. Today's verdict was realized because people did not lose hope. And I say that we, just as we didn't lose hope and achieve this verdict, let's not lose hope in really achieving the true meaning of justice and democracy.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you all for joining us on Hot Topics from the Soul. So take this and share this, because I'm sure that someone can use this and then actually get a chance to see that we're individuals, we're mothers, we're fathers, we're sisters, we're brothers, and that's how we need to function and govern ourselves as we meet individuals along this pathway in this game we call life. And remember, as the word says, the Declaration of the Constitution says that we hold these things, truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with a wonderful rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I got on my glasses and still can't see, but I wanted to read it right. But it is on the screen. And yes. So thank you so much. And God bless.
God bless. Oh, love you all. Thank you all very much. What an honor and pleasure.
Yes.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for the invite.